We read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, a story of a character to which I think all of us can relate in ways that perhaps we might not think about very often, so we will today. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not on account of the crowd, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, "He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Well, that's good news. I got an email this week, not an uncommon request that our research team gets from time to time. In fact, the last request of this sort came from a medical researcher in Paris who wanted to do some research and wanted to use some of the questions we've used on our surveys in his own research. Well, this one came from an undergraduate student at Coastal Carolina University, a young woman who indicated that she was taking a research methods class as an undergraduate and wondered if we would send her some of the questions we'd used on a piece of research we'd had published, so that she could be sure she was using in her own work a reliable questionnaire. Well, I thought about that for a minute, and then what went through my mind was this. She's in a research methods class and is asking me for a reliable questionnaire. I thought, if you're in a methods class, maybe the construction of a reliable questionnaire is what you're supposed to be learning to do yourself. Sort of initially felt like, and I was being more suspicious than I needed to, in a way. It sort of felt like she was asking to copy my homework. And I wasn't quite so sure that this is what I wanted to do. Well, this request from the medical researcher in Paris for the same thing came to my colleague, Myrna Armstrong. She gets the medical researchers, I get the undergraduates sending email. And so I called Myrna, who is not only Dr. Armstrong, regional dean of nursing at Health Sciences Center, Highland Lakes, she's also Colonel Myrna Armstrong, U.S. Army retired. I thought if anybody would know the answer to this ethical dilemma, Myrna could help me sort it out. And I get her on the phone and she sort of chuckles and said, "Okay, maybe. But hey, she went to a lot of trouble to find us. It really doesn't hurt us much to be generous. Let's give her the benefit of the doubt." And I said, "Okay, of course. You know, that would be my initial instinct anyway. But in this day and age, I've somewhat to my chagrin, find myself being a little more suspicious than other times and places in the nature of my work." But Myrna was right. Young girl going to school, what does it hurt us to share something of what we've learned? I mean, that's what we're about. We're teachers. We should teach people what we've learned. So I did. I sent her a little note and so on. I haven't gotten a thank you note, by the way, but that's all right. All of us make decisions based on a couple of different things, many things, but at least two. When we're facing a decision that we're not sure what's the right way to go, we look at what we value. What are our core beliefs? What are the central principles of our sort of ethical frame, our values? We also account for what we might stand to gain or lose. Not sure what that's about. Seems to be some interference. In any case, we account for our interests. What do we stand to gain or lose if, in fact, we do this or not? Interference from the cell phone. What do we stand to gain or lose? What do we believe? What do we stand to gain or lose? These two dynamics intersect. In the best of all worlds, when something we're trying to decide is consistent with our values and also doesn't hurt us or we stand to gain from it, a convergence of values and interests, the decision is pretty easy. We do it. Similarly, something that's inconsistent with what we value, and if we do it, it would hurt us, well, chances are we would not do that. I guess unless we're teenagers. It's the intermediate cases that are kind of interesting. What is it when something serves our interests but goes against what we value? What is it that is consistent with our values, but if we were to do it, it might hurt us? The intermediate cases are interesting. This, of course, is hypocrisy. We do it even though we don't believe it's the right thing to do. This, pushed to its extreme, is martyrdom. We value it so much that we will allow ourselves to be hurt or even killed in the process. Most of us sort of live in between there. We mostly account for what we believe in. And even if it isn't a perfect world, if it serves our needs or meets something we need to do, we'll generally, well, we may compromise to some extent. And also, we'll put ourselves out for other people when it doesn't hurt much, and so on. Well, back to the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, I think, lived most of his life in this quadrant, living in ways that served his interests. And whether he had a value system or not, whatever it was, it didn't seem to matter. He was a son of Abraham, as Jesus says. He was a Jew who worked for, and at the behest of the Roman government, taking tax money, probably in corrupt and evil ways, from his countrymen, living against certainly what anyone would believe he valued to further his own interests. And yet, for some reason, he hears Jesus is coming to town and maybe begins to say, well, maybe I'm not living exactly like I need to. Maybe this man has something new to tell me. So he climbs up a tree and says, I'll just give him another look. Jesus, who certainly lived his life in this quadrant completely and took it to an extreme, bringing the value system of the God who created heavens and earth, working completely against his own interests, sacrificing his life for the entire creation, sees him and says, in Jesus' human world, working against his own interests, says, I'd like to have dinner with you. And of course the crowd wags its tongue. You know, what's the prophet doing having dinner with this sinner? But Jesus says, you know what? It doesn't hurt me much to be generous. What if I gave this guy the benefit of the doubt? And Zacchaeus sort of becomes an object lesson in a children's sermon. Jesus, who's come to prophesy and teach, uses Zacchaeus as an example of the type of person who seems to need his love. Working against his own interests, he's generous to the man who seemingly is a pariah in his context and becomes an object lesson to the crowd. It doesn't hurt me much to be generous, and look at what happens to Zacchaeus as a result, as it were. A useful object lesson for us. I think that if we were to be locked in a room and given truth serum and asked, what do you think of the world around you? A lot of us would say, you know, if everybody just lived like me and believed what I believe, the whole world would be a lot better if we were to tell the truth. And yet, there are people in our lives that strike us as Zacchaeus and many others struck the people in his life. How do we relate to people that think differently than we do, act differently than we do, look differently than we do? Well, it doesn't take us long if you ponder that to any degree. There may come a day sooner than later when we're up a tree of our own making too. We're all in lots of ways more alike than different. And who hasn't been up a tree and in need of a little undeserved generosity from someone who loves us? It doesn't hurt to give the benefit of the doubt. And even if it hurts us, it doesn't hurt us much. Not all ethical dilemmas have the level of inconsequence as an email from a student who wants to do something with what we have that might not be completely and totally on the up and up. On the other hand, it doesn't hurt us to be generous, and maybe that inspires who knows what. Jesus looks at Zacchaeus. What does it hurt? Jesus looks at us and says, okay, if you're not up a tree today, your day will come. And that might change how we look at others. We may not be up a tree, but they are. And our day will come. And it doesn't hurt us much, if it hurts us at all, to extend the benefit of the doubt. And who knows, maybe a voice in the background might be saying in that encounter, today salvation has come to this house with a bit more generosity than perhaps we believe we're capable. It doesn't hurt us much to give the benefit of the doubt. Amen.